Well, once again, this is July 14th of the year 2015. This is Tools for the Times. We are on Block 2, Session 4. The new title for the talk tonight is I Am Soul. And first of all, let me go ahead and appreciate you all for being flexible with me as my summer schedule took over and I found myself in places where I was unable to have any contact with any sustained contact on the phone or on the internet or anything as I was in a series of summer camps. And then last week, the unexpected happened in that I was in Kansas City and we were dealing with some tornadoes coming through and then having to be spontaneously working with kids that I hadn't intended to at the time. So my apologies and also my appreciation. And the reality here is that I think for at least the next three sessions I'm going to be here. And there won't be any interruptions. There will be some possible interferences in August as I'm traveling during the week. And once again, I will do everything I can to see if I can go ahead and create a recorded call for you. And I do appreciate feedback on this. And if any of you have anything you'd like to email me and let me know about the adjustments that are being made. And whether this is actually serving you to give you a little more time in between calls, because I do know the calls themselves can be kind of intense, and it's a lot of information, it's a lot of things to put in there, and by the nature of the course, what is happening is that the information is put in there, and then it starts doing its work. So I do trust that events and situations, thoughts, clearings are happening in each of your lives. In subtle or not so subtle ways, and it's all in alignment with the intention we have for taking on the awareness of these tools for the times. It's a powerful choice. It's a courageous choice. It is a choice that is serving you on many, many levels. And for that, I want to celebrate and decide, so let's get moving on this one. So I am soul. I stumbled across a book. I'm an ardent fan of a channel named Cryon, who's been around for over 25 years, started in 1987. And I remember being exposed to his work back then, but I was more into a couple of other channels. Barbara Marciniak with the book Bringers of the Dawn. There was also Emmanuel, Book 1 and Book 2. There was Bartholomew channels that were being shared at that point. They were very, very loving, very open. And in fact, there were actual channels who were moving up and down the West Coast giving channelings. There was one especially in the central coast of California named Mafu, M-A-F-U. And so I found at that point that I was intrigued on a very deep level by what these beings and what was being shared. And so I've developed a pretty substantial level of trust to what comes out of those who are channeling. Having said that, everybody and their brother, which is an exaggeration, is channeling in these times. So one has to use that beautiful power of discernment to decide what resonates. Some things resonate very well, and they feel very cutting-edge and very powerful. Some channelings are really a regurgitation of stuff that's already been along the road. Having said that, someone who hasn't been exposed at all can pick up a book by a channel that I do not resonate with and find that it's a very potent process. So let's just say that in my choice to be open to the idea and to trust the information until further notice has really made a huge difference in how I flow through life, how I am showing up to my moments, how I have done my own personal healings, how I've worked through those moments and the struggles that I've had in the past, in the process of clearing. Let me underscore that, again, the purpose of the Tools for the Times is to give information that at times can be confrontive, can be an invitation to a greater opening and a greater awareness. And because of that, I get excited about the information because I'm just trusting what comes in and what I've been exposed to. And because of that, a lot of times it's stuff that perhaps we haven't thought of, or perhaps is coming from a very different intention, coming not an intention, from a very different perspective than what we're used to. But your choice to be a part of this is an indication of your willingness to step out of the old paradigms and try on new things, and to trust new ways of looking at the world, new ways of experiencing it, and really trusting that ultimately that you have everything you need inside, and an experience like this is really to reopen and reactivate those old elements of awareness. And that is the beautiful opportunity I have week after week to bring this awareness here. So the book I stumbled upon from Kryon was had to do with the soul. And I'm sorry, I'm forgetting the actual name of the book. How could I? Okay, I think it's called The Human Soul Revealed. It is actually someone taking Kryon's writings and then putting them into a compilation with the focus on the soul. And this person, and I'll give you the name and the resources later, is an Australian woman who has traveled and worked with the Kryon entourage, as it's called, and has written three books, one called The Gaia Effect, and then another one that the name is escaping me, but this one, it was about the Akash. And the Akash is actually something we're going to be looking at. You might look at it as the Akashic Record, but there's the information is fast coming that it's much more than we thought it was. So that's the third book. So to put the resource out and refer to that book a lot tonight, because it had some very new perspectives on what the idea of soul is and just how large and encompassing it is. And so I've been inspired for the last week or so, every chance I got, to look into the book. And I couldn't formulate what it was I wanted to talk about tonight and what the session would be, really, until yesterday, after I had had a little bit of time of R&R coming back from Kansas City. And so it really is still taking shape as we speak. But I know that it's going to serve yourselves and a deeper part of you in a very powerful way. It's beginning to appear to me that all these sessions that we've had and the elements of these sessions are beginning to come together and interrelate to one another in deeper ways than I had even thought they would. What seemed in some ways like random sessions is now starting to tie together. And this whole thing on souls and soul itself, not just souls, but soul, is what seems to be the underlying force, the gathering point for all this information, because it is the reactivation, the reawakening of the awareness, the choice to actively engage our greater soul self that gives us all of these tools. And the underlying point of this is, again, and I've said this before, but it must be reiterated here, that we have everything we need. The design is impeccable. The design of each of us as a human being contains everything. And I'm using that word everything because it is the word. It is everything. All the information, all the experience, all of that. The only thing is that we are in a dimension, the earthly dimension, where the rules of the game are that we forget. But here's the most powerful element of all of this is that the days of forgetting are disappearing. And what this means is that the information, as it reveals itself, suddenly becomes as if immediately the way we have been doing things, what we've known all along. It's that powerful that it almost immediately, it replaces that misinformation that was there before. It is so exciting. It is so exciting. It's as if we reach a point where we no longer think or even experience in the way that we did not so long ago. So the movement from the Piscean into the Aquarian is legitimate. It can be measured. It is organized through science. It's all understood. What's happening is unprecedented. What is really happening to the individuals and the collective energies of humanity is unprecedented. And it's just beginning to reveal itself and will do so on a daily basis, on a minute-by-minute basis, not only for someone like me who's wanting to share this with you, but for each of us on our journey. And the point, what underlies all of it is a willingness and a choice to choose to be aware, to be willing to trust. And these are, you know, trust is an issue that we've had thrown in our face for lifetime after lifetime. So much to the point that we're hardly able to trust anything in this world unless we actually take an about face and step off that paradigm. So there are elements that are beginning to surface about what really is important to facilitate our expansion, to facilitate what's being called the ascension. In other words, to facilitate us being whole while in body. It used to be that the awareness comes as a result of leaving and then getting the information after we are gone as we prepare for another incarnation in this adopted cycle of life after life after life. What Kryon has been sharing is that the new forms as a result of the energies coming in are that things are being significantly shifted, like the whole idea of karma. That it is in our power right now to drop the whole idea of karma and no longer subscribe to it. And what that does is it begins to dismantle the idea that we have to have successive lives. And when you dismantle the idea of successive lives, what you begin to see is that the whole notion of the fallibility of the physical body, the inevitability of death, the inevitability of X number of years in a lifespan, it begins to subtly but powerfully and progressively extend our capacity to be fully aware in this dimension over longer periods of time. In other words, not have to leave. And by taking away the karmic energy and the need to recycle, what is beginning to happen is that we become fully aware and we don't forget. And if we do leave and reincarnate again, This is the great one. We come back in fully aware of what we just came from. So we no longer come in having to start over. We come in with the full knowledge of what we've done and what we've learned and the actual information itself. And this is starting to show up as a result of the power of the soul being revealed in its magnificence as opposed to just being an element of who we are. It is oh so much more, as we'll see through the course of the night here. So all these ideas are fresh, and I'm kind of just spewing them out right now in a kind of non-organized, random fashion. But I think it's all going to come together. I know it will. So here we are. I am soul. Just the very title itself is a potent expression because of the words I am. When we make the choice to claim that essence of who we are, I am soul, that is a direct invitation for our inner self and our outer self to reveal all that is necessary for us to fully integrate the idea that I am soul, which then gives information about what the soul truly is. So here's how I started out on the page. I said, we have all heard and used the word soul. And though its common use is varied, its deeper meaning remains a mystery to most. It is bannered around in organized religion and leveraged against our proper behavior, lest we become a lost soul or an eternally damned soul. Some people have soul and others don't, a reflection of some specific charismatic quality or a deeper connection with the muse or the passion flow that oozes through life. That person has soul. Other definitions include the spiritual part of a person that is believed to give life to the body and in many religions is believed to live forever. Another is a person's deeply felt moral and emotional nature. In my soul, I know this to be true. And in my soul, I know that this is the way I have to act in this situation. This is the use of that. Another is the ability of a person to feel kindness and sympathy for others, to appreciate beauty and art, to get into the soul of things, which is the deepest elements of it, where the fire lives, where the passion is. These are traditional elements of soul and the definition. And another, the immaterial essence emanating principle or actuating cause of an individual life is another way a dictionary has put it. Another is a person's total self. The soul of, not even thinking of a name, I thought of John Henry. John Henry was a little baby. Okay, the soul of that man, that's what we're talking about, the essence of who he was, and we're talking about an active or essential part. It's the soul of the experience we're talking about there. There are lots of different souls living in Cambria, is another way to look at it, as if a soul is strictly a name for a person. It's also a personification. So there's a lot of ways to look at it, and all of those are implying an isolated element. They imply a small piece of something. And I said all that is well and good, yet lacking is the expansive awareness and meaning that is rising out of these remarkable transitory times of the age of Aquarius. In fact, soul is the essential element upon which one who is ascending must feed, nourish, and be in alignment with. And that is a very strong statement, because up till 2 weeks ago, I would not have said that. See, it appears that the struggle I had with putting together a session on oneness is because soul was getting in the way, and I didn't know it. But now that as soul starts to reveal itself, it is within the framework of soul that oneness is possible. And especially in the ways that Kryon is painting it, I'm going to do my best to give an introduction to it, but by all means, I'm going to encourage you, if you're intrigued by it, to actually pick up a copy of the book, $9.99, as a Kindle, that's it, as a Kindle book that I downloaded on my iPad. So, you can tell I'm just on fire about this. I don't know if it's coming across, but I'll tell you, it's pretty warm right here at this desk, even though outside it's a graying day as the coast fog starts to move in because it was hotter. The first section is going to be on reflecting on what a soul is, and I'm referring to three different elements here. I'm referring to Kryon's book. I'm referring to another resource from a gentleman named Jonathan Parker, who lives down in Oxnard, California, who... really, since in the mid-80s, I've been following his work, buying tape series, listening to them, talking to him on the phone, learning this and that about the nature of the cosmos and how to let go of my past and to clear things out. And he came out with a book a couple years ago called The Soul Solution, which was the first attempt and to integrate and to bring in a direct relationship with the soul. So I'm going to present a couple perspectives from him, some work from Kryon, and then I'll also go to another book called Awaken the Shaman, with the Inner Shaman, Awaken the Inner Shaman by Jose Stevens, forgot his middle name. And this one has to do with something that I've talked about before in phone calls and quite possibly, I believe, in the Tools for Consciousness, or the Tools for the Times, Tools for the Times. And that had to do with the Inner Shaman access point, which is the sinoatrial vowel point, sinoatrial node, that is on the heart, physical heart itself, that this as the focal point for where the dimensional dance begins is very critical in actually allowing the flow of the vibration that's necessary to sustain and expand us, that's coming right through that little point. So I want to bring something up on that. It is my intention to do several meditations tonight, one from a fairly extensive one from Jonathan Parker, as he leads us in acquainting ourselves with our soul, Another shorter one about the inner shaman, the activation of that particular point, and a couple subtle things along that line. The idea of the soul is also fed by the opening of the third eye and the pineal gland itself, the decalcification process and the clearing of the debris around that to allow the true information and the true vision to come through so that the soul and the higher self are functioning in the capacity that they can. So really what we're being called to is to come home to the truth of our being. We're being called to come home to our true design. And even the slightest willingness is enough to kick a lot of processes into action that we don't even have to consciously be aware of. I really want to underscore this because it doesn't mean you have to quit your day job to spend all your time working on your soul. Efforts put in the direction of it, like all of these activities, like all of these sessions, are met almost exponentially by a loving cosmos that is giving us the keys to the kingdom right now. Okay, so reflections on what soul is from these different eyes. According to Jonathan Parker in his essential book, and I call it that, The Soul Solution, soul is that which contains your unique divine essence and expression. Who you are is found in the core of your soul and who you have always been and will be as well. It contains already all of the higher frequency qualities that a human can be, much like a divine template. Love, peace, kindness, generosity, compassion, joy, happiness, bliss, on and on and on, these elements of the true design of who we are there. He indicates that the soul is your personal connection to creative source. It is unique in its expression as you. Tuning into and turning to your soul will open the pathways to accessing and becoming these qualities. It is as if the soul is there to lead you home to the fullest and most complete expression of the I am that I am as you. See, this is powerful information. The New Thought path, the path of mystery schools through time, the whole idea that we bought into the nature of history, that what we are now is so much more advanced than what we were back then, when the reality is that it's almost like a bathtub. They came from, in the beginning, there was this incredible capacity and awareness and capability far beyond even what we're capable of, and it descended into kind of a lack of awareness, and at which point it seems like the historians, whoever they have been, picked it up and started working with it to make it sound the way that they needed to make it sound, to continually give us the notion that we are evolving out of ignorance, out of a lesser than capacity in the past, which evidence is well, it isn't even evident. It's common sense to realize that nothing could be further than the truth. So the whole idea that we are damaged goods and have to keep working to get something or become something better if we're lucky is just a gross manipulation. And again, nothing could be further than the truth. And as we realize and take on the magnificence and the expanse of the soul itself, we realize again that all that we need and have ever needed is contained within us by design. It has been whitewashed and put into little compartments that we forgot about until now, until these times. So in a little bit, I'm going to lead you through a meditation from Jonathan Parker. I'm just deciding whether I want to do it now. Or if I want to, well, I think let's do it now. So what I'm going to invite you to do is I find it here on my Kindle and open up the book, is for you just to get yourself relaxed and become aware of yourself in the seat. Why don't you stretch a little bit? Especially your shoulders, your hands, and your back, and your face muscles, and all of that. And just become comfortable in your chair by allowing yourself to just relax. And I am going to do what I can to locate
And I apologize for the silence here as you get relaxed, but the meditation seems to have gone elsewhere on my iPad. So give me a moment while I go ahead and find that. 1494. Okay. And it. All right, I'm so sorry about this. This is strange. It apparently doesn't want to show up. Page. This is curious because it's kind of the way things work. In the transition times where the old ways, here I'm coming to it, the old ways get in the way and they create an awkward moment, we'll call it. So in the whole process of me wanting to do this, I'm feeling a little embarrassed by having this extra time there and the silence. But hey, I persevered thanks to your willingness to be patient. All right, so I found it. Completely somewhere else than I thought it was. Okay, this is called A Journey to Meet Your Soul. So I'm going to invite you again to regain your center, take a few deep breaths to your abdomen, and allow yourself to relax, feeling on your backside, the chair, feeling yourself just sink into the chair with your back fairly straight and your feet, if possible, on the floor. So I'm just reading a meditation that Jonathan Parker has here. Let's begin the journey to your soul. First, select a stretch of time where you won't be disturbed. All right, I'm going to skip that. We've done that. Comfortable deep breath in through the nose. Hold this breath for just an instant before letting it gently out through your mouth. You'll notice that this starts a relaxation in your body, which enables you to begin letting go of the outer world so that you can put your attention on your inner world. To help relax your face, separate your teeth slightly, and notice how your body relaxes a little more. As you inhale, imagine you're breathing in golden light through the top of your head. And allow that light to filter into every muscle, organ, and nerve from the top of your head down to the tip of your toes. Breathe this light into every cell of your body. And do this for about 10 breaths. As you continue to breathe, put your attention on the light in the center of your chest, in what is known as the heart and soul center. Continuing the deep breath with the light coming down through the top of the head, the golden light, you imagine a sphere of light like a miniature sun, about the size of a baseball, radiating golden light from your chest all through you and around you. Keep breathing the light into your heart and soul center as you continue relaxing and sending love to your heart and body. And allow yourself to deepen the process into your entire body.
And now tune into the following statements, gently attuning them to your heart and soul rather than mentally analyzing them. Simply allow yourself to merge with the words and experience each statement within. Say to your heart, I send you all the love of my soul. Say to your body, I embrace you with all the love of my heart and soul. Continue breathing in pure love and golden light. Fill your entire chest area with a radiantly glowing presence of golden light. And you allow the soul's love to merge into every muscle and nerve and to fill every cell. Allow this love to become part of every atom and molecule of your being. Sense the soul's love relaxing you and bringing a healing glow to your whole body, which spreads radiant love outward all around you. If there are any disturbances, distractions, or issues on your mind, say to yourself, I ask the light of my soul to fill all my thoughts and feelings about these situations. I send all my thoughts, memories, and feelings the pure light and blessings of my soul. I'll repeat that. I ask the light of my soul to fill all my thoughts and feelings about these situations. I send all my thoughts, memories, and feelings the pure light and blessings of my soul. And now allow your breath to be free and gentle. Feel a relaxed presence as you welcome the peaceful soul presence. Say to yourself, I place my heart in the presence of my enlightened soul so that all may be healed. I am willing to acknowledge my past and release it into the embrace of my soul. I allow the source of love to embrace my heart. I acknowledge the divine soul presence within me. These statements are like prayers and intentions. They are requests of the deepest core of your soul where all goodness dwells. You'll naturally and automatically receive a healing answer to your requests and your intentions. Allow yourself to deepen into the feelings of receiving the love, the light, and the healing that live in your heart. Allow yourself now to receive the peace, the gentleness, and the love. Say yes to receiving peace, love, and healing, and ask them to deepen within you. Feel your heart saying, I can trust my soul. I can trust this process. I can reach freedom, awakening, and enlightened states. Each of these statements is a request and a prayer, as well as an acknowledgement. Say to yourself, I acknowledge my soul and the divine presence within me. And I open to receive infinite love and peace. I welcome all the qualities of goodness of my soul. And I allow them to rest in my heart. Drink in the soul's qualities and say yes with thanksgiving. Let yourself deepen into these peaceful feelings. If you sense any tightening, questioning, or holding, bring the fullness of your request to the resistance. Say, I surrender, release, and dissolve all my need for any resistance. I surrender my heart to the fullness of the divine presence. Beloved presence of divine love, help me to receive your presence more fully into my heart. Follow your feelings, and whatever your experience is, return to your heart center and repeat, I feel my soul deeply in my heart. This helps to bring the soul and the divine presence to the place of need, and whatever is not an essential expression of the goodness of your soul will wash away and dissolve. Repeat this statement several times slowly, gently, and reverently. I feel my soul deeply in my heart. I feel my soul deeply in my heart. I feel my soul deeply in my heart. Deep in your heart, sense the presence of peace, love, and light that's being extended to you and that's emerging. You may see something visually. Or you may receive a phone call. You may see something visually, or you may experience a presence more emotionally or kinesthetically. Perhaps you may sense a deepening of peace and love, and other times you may simply feel relaxed. Whatever you're experiencing, know that it's right for you. There's no wrong way to do this. Allow yourself to deepen into your inner space and discover the gifts that are there for you. The key is to keep asking to open more deeply to receive the beauty, the love, and the light that are already awaiting you. Continue requesting to open more deeply and acknowledging the soul deeply in your heart for as long as seems appropriate. I feel my soul deeply in my heart. I feel my soul deeply in my heart. So I invite you now to take a deep breath. Express gratitude. Become aware of your body, your bottom in the seat,
Become aware of the air around you. Become aware of your surroundings, sounds that may be there. And slowly bring yourself back with eyes open now to being fully alert and aware. Obviously, we cut it short a little bit just for the sake of the phone call. But what you've got is a structure that you can expand upon or that you can go ahead and make your own. I will make a copy of this. Once again, the book is The Soul Solution. Jonathan Parker is his name. The main point of this, as I think you can gather, is that it's an intentional focus upon the heart itself. Trusting that the information that the heart is the dwelling place of an essence of the soul, the focus itself begins to activate and reawaken these elements that have been lying dormant. And the more you feel the presence, feeling your soul in your heart, the more these activate. So this is one approach to it. This is something that's several years old. It's an approach that comes through in meditations. It's a very significant book and a gentle book that invites us through a series of successive meditations to really make a deeper connection with the soul, where these elements, where the moments of living can be resolved, where the things can be released energetically. And that's exciting. You know, anyone on the path has an arsenal of tools to rely upon. There are moments that call for something like this, and there are moments that call for something different. I want to step now into the information coming through Kryon. And his book, The Human Soul Revealed, and again, I'll give you the author when I give you the resources. I said it is in listening to the channelings of Kryon where the most revolutionary and evolutionary elements regarding soul are revealed. He indicates that the soul is an eternal, a little bit of a difference, an eternal multidimensional soul soup of all that is, and it is part of the Creator that has no beginning and no end. When we incarnate on earth, we are suddenly pieces and parts of our multidimensional self contained within one body. Excuse me. So we think that everyone else has their one soul. Okay, there's a lot going on in this statement here. The multidimensional soul soup, as he calls it. This is the source pit of everything. All of the soul expressions in the cosmos, regardless of whether they are earthbound in this dimension or elsewhere. So it's important to know that a soul, you or I, are not isolated expressions. And because so you can see how this is leading to the understanding of the oneness and the interconnectivity of all things. Forgive me on this cough here. Something is wanting out. At the point of incarnation, we are a piece of ourself. That is all we are. And as we'll see here, we find that pieces of ourself, by design, are kept because of the nature of vibration in different places. This is pretty interesting and it's pretty exciting, so I hope I can give justice to at least whet your appetite to want to perhaps maybe follow up on it. So let's leave that piece there for a moment.
When we leave, we immerse again into the great soup. There is no isolated element except for what we buy into. And what we're going to begin to see is that there's a coexistence of the individual soul, so to speak, as well as the great cosmic soul. And this is where we begin to open to the idea of the various levels of connection that we have and what we truly have access to. Now, Kryon has broken the idea of soul into nine elements. And it's a kind of an interesting breakup. They are further divided into three groups. So the elements of being human and having human soul is basically grouped into three elements, one called the human group, another called the soul group, and the other called the Gaia, or the support group, with Gaia being the living vibration of the earth itself. And we are each all of these elements. So briefly, the human group is the higher self, and that higher self resides in the DNA at the corporeal level, in the body level. Higher self residing in the DNA structure. We're going to look at DNA towards the end of this block as we begin to see that the expanding DNA is going right along with the increased energies and the frequencies that are coming into the planet, along with this expansive soul element that's here. The second part of the human group is basically human consciousness. It's a traditionally three-dimensional element that is expanding into multidimensionality. See, this is the thing. It's all evolving. And currently, the human consciousness is becoming less aware of itself as an isolated element and expanding into the greater oneness. Not at the expense of having an individual expression. This is important to know, because both are capable of existing simultaneously. The third element of the human group is called innate. And innate is this, he calls it the smart part of the cellular body. And this is the part, if you do muscle testing or kinesiology, if you're into EFT, emotional freedom technique, the tapping, what you're doing is you're accessing the innate. The innate is the interconnectivity of all elements of the physical as well as the energetic bodies. It's like the wiring that goes between everything. It is when communication can happen between cells. It's where communication can happen with intention that becomes applicable and measurable within the cells, the tissues, etc. It is this innate capacity for ourselves to have communication that is part of the great soul structure that we are. The higher self, which is basically the vehicle through which I have to be careful in this because it isn't the vehicle. It is basically, it's the element that exists in all of the groups. Because the higher self takes the soul information and applies it. I guess that's one way to put it. Again, it is not even necessary to understand what I'm saying tonight, because especially this part is a whole new way of looking at things. And all it's designed to do, the talk tonight, is to open up an inner awareness that will then reveal to you what to do with it. Currently, humans in third dimension are functioning at slightly less than 35% DNA being active and functioning. And we are living as a shell of what we are in separation and in ignorance, which is what is changing via the energetic influence of the Aquarian Age. With almost 65% of the DNA inactive and not functioning, we are not who we are. We are not functioning as who we are. The deal is that for us to reawaken in a moment would fry all of our circuits. This is why mystery schools had that slow process of what they had, because the vibration of the collective was so small, they had to give it in measured doses, and you had to master each element before you moved on to the next piece. We're very high vibrational people, even those who have no awareness, because we coexist in a higher frequency right now. At 35% activity with the DNA, we are capable of doing what we're doing and oh so much more. And it says at 44%, each will become aware of what is happening within and function as what's called a medical intuitive and more. In other words, the intuitive self will expand to the point that it becomes an actual tool without question. That's at 44%. The higher self will begin to reveal itself. In other words, it'll reveal itself to our conscious self. And thus we becoming aware of a bigger picture of life itself. So once we begin to access a greater awakening of the DNA and an opening of that, then we have immediate and direct access to higher self. It's part of the gift of that awareness. It's a part of the gift of the opening. And then there's the statement that basically when we reach 88%, this is where things really begin to explode, if you will, using that term. The Akash, which is the memory of lives past and future, as well as the inner internet, in other words, the access to all information, they're tied to the innate. Again, I'm giving information here that we don't have a reference for yet. When we begin to have access to our own Akash, which is the energetic memory, you've heard of the Akashic record, it's the energetic memory of all that we've done in all of our incarnations. Traditionally, it's been held it's about being our past. Well, the truth is with the nature of space and time shifting, it also includes our future. So we have access to pull elements from all of those places to apply to the moment. When we reach 88%. What will begin to unfold is that when we incarnate, we'll remember our previous lives consciously, having direct access to the learnings, the talents, and the skills. Science fiction right now. On the other hand, we're beginning to see glimpses of this, and you're probably already personally experiencing new awarenesses that are happening just in the moments of living. The human group, composed of the higher self, the consciousness, and the innate. Now, the soul group is also comprised of the higher self because this ties all of the groups together. It's also composed of the guides, and there's a different slant on how guides are showing up as well. And then there's another element there, the part of you that is always on the other side of the veil. So let's look at this. The soul group with the higher self provides a continuity between the three groups. According to Kryon's information that's coming through now, we're beginning to see that the guides themselves, although they appear to be external, although they appear to be separate from us, as ascended masters, et cetera, they are really a part and an element of an expression of a part of us, of us. So my guides are really expressions coming through me as me. But it's necessary in this dimension to create separation for the time being. Higher vibrational parts of my soul standing apart from me, and they change as I change. In other words, the forms of the guidance, the forms of the guides themselves change as I evolve. And there's even talk that there are periods of time where it seems like the guidance disappears as we realign and recalibrate based upon the energies and the shifts we have made. And these appear as dark nights of the soul, as points where we feel completely isolated. I was talking to someone the other day who was feeling like they were completely lost. They'd been going through a lot, and they felt this great deal of separation, even within themselves. and I was brought to mind this element here of these periods of time where it seems like we are cast adrift. And it's a regathering of energies to realign in the new vibration and to reawaken and to reappear in the new vibration, temporary. Now, the third part of this was the interesting one. It says it's the part of you that's always on the other side of the veil. It's the pure divine energy of you that cannot be sustained in the three-dimensional body. The vibration of it is so high that it would not function here. So a good portion of us remains separate from our incarnation. The beauty of it is that it becomes the actual vehicle through which we can integrate that which is outside of us in the other dimensions into that which we are. What he said is that the soup in which all resides becomes the engine of synchronicity that steers you to that which is best for your awakening. In other words, this fact that we exist outside as well as inside is the vehicle that creates the synchronicity of how things show up for us to meet our intentions of the moment. Once you get that, it's pretty darn exciting. It creates a bridge, it creates a connection that allows us to consciously begin to use these elements to formulate the form of the moments, that the way the moments show up. And we are essentially in a co-creation process through that. When we access and accept and explore the idea that a significantly powerful part of ourselves exists outside of us, if you will. It really isn't outside of us, but it exists outside of the third dimension. Then it's pretty exciting about what we are capable of doing. And interestingly, it's a case for all humanity, not just the enlightened ones. Whoever we look at is wired in the same manner. They've got the same design in terms of the capabilities, and the same energies are working with them. It helps us to develop our own sense of compassion or our willingness to act upon those energies of being supportive of one another. The third group is the Gaia group, and it's sort of apart from human, but not really. It's interfaced by an energetic grid. The first part is the higher self, which again ties all three groups together, and it's represented by the magnetic grid of the planet. Like the acupuncture lines, there's a magnetic grid that surrounds the planet, and it is in that particular grid where human consciousness is affected by and also affects it. Again, we're just planting seeds here. I'm just opening up the doors here for a bit of information. And the second element is called the crystalline grid. It's an invisible grid that holds and remembers human vibration, action, and emotion. In other words, what you experience. Let me slow down on this. The crystalline grid holds the experiences and the emotion of each of us. Opened up for a moment to the idea of how powerful nature is for those who can access it, and how the inner yearning to get connecting with nature, to stand in the water, to connect with the stones themselves, to be in the forest. You are realizing that there's a higher calling to reconnect with information, to reconnect with what has been left behind from lifetimes past. It's mind-blowing on some level. It's Piscean mind-blowing in terms of the forms that are beginning to show up. The invisible grid that holds and remembers human vibration, action, and emotion. What you experience in each incarnation is never forgotten by the planet. The grid is evolving into higher frequency, becoming more responsive to joy, laughter, and compassion. So do you understand that with the planet not forgetting, when we come back, we are drawn to certain places that hold information for us, that help to guide us on our way. that help to reawaken an inner knowing. And even this is all shifting because of the nature of the fact of karma being left behind and the idea that we are going to carry with us all we need to know. So the relationship between this Gaia group is going to expand in itself. The grids evolving into higher frequency, becoming more responsive to joy, laughter, and compassion. And this, in turn, will seed the grid with increasing higher frequency elements that will impact humans. When you go somewhere, it's like in the magnetic grid or the crystalline grid, it's holding information of experiences and events. If you've ever been to any places like battlefields or places where crimes were held, you feel a vibration there. The land itself is holding the vibration. It's holding a collective vibration that is reflecting essentially humanity. The lower humanity is, the more often you'll have a lower frequency vibration even outside in nature, because it's bound by law to be in cohesion with what we're doing. Okay, so having said that, with the new energies coming in, it's lifting the frequencies up, and as the planet too is evolving energies and releasing, we are realizing that it's a collective support system that's going on that is lifting us out of some of these places. Again, these are just seeds I'm planting. Now, this is the third element for the Gaia group is very interesting. And it has to do with the cetaceans, the whales, the dolphins. According to this information, is that they have functioned and always have functioned as a living library for humanity. And they're linked intimately with these grids. They are literally the Akashic Library for humanity and also for Gaia, and they carry time capsules as energy waiting for activation and release. The connection we feel in our deepest being for whales, for dolphins, for the relationship that's there, it's because the DNA structure of the both of us is very, very similar. And so the connection on a soul level, this is what's so exciting about it. It's so large. It integrates us with the planet. It integrates us with the inhabitants of the planet, whether they are human or whether they're animal or any kind of biological. And it also ties us to the cosmos as part of ourselves exists in another dimension that is so powerful that it cannot manifest here. And yet it feeds through the higher self all that is necessary and the guidance is necessary to bring us to our full awareness of who we are. God, I hope you're getting a sense of this, and if not, it's because I'm just perhaps stumbling over it here. But let's just keep going. It follows that the soul is much more expansive and dynamic than we have ever imagined. The elements are revealing themselves in these times and in each one of us in unique and special ways, opening us each up to a significantly new expression of life. The awareness of these elements is the doorway to even more that is being revealed. The spiraling of the greater knowing is dependent on the opening hearts and minds that are willing to take mighty leaps of faith and call for the revelation to come. It is essential for us to continue to show faith. Those that are called to phone calls like this, to these sessions, the invitation is to take it and to walk with it first. Make it a part of some element of your day. In good faith gestures, begin to integrate the information into your moments of living, even if just the idea of your being open, and start to pay attention even more. Because it says the awareness is the doorway to even more that is being revealed. The awareness brings awareness. We don't know what we don't know because we don't know it. The knowings will come as we open the awareness. They are revealed. It's like the key to the kingdom. The spiraling of the greater knowing is dependent on the opening of hearts and minds that are willing to make mighty leaps of faith and call for the revelations to come. And this was an interesting thing that dropped in right when I wrote the revelations to come. And perhaps this is really what revelations is, and the whole biblical reference to the revelations, that essentially it is new information, new ways of being, deeper and more magnificent connections on multiple levels and dimensions. In essence, a new world of infinite interconnected possibility. And rather than embracing that with excitement and the huzzah that it deserves, we have been taught to fear it. We have been taught to fear change. Well, those old pieces do not in any way align with the new frequencies that are pouring into the planet. Uh-oh. There we go. As I said that, my computer was going, what the heck? Okay, I'm going to move on to where the soul lives. And we've already established that it almost is everywhere, and essentially it is. According to previous information, the soul lives everywhere. It is an infinite part of the. It is a part of an infinite soup of the infinite expanse, as well as a unique expression of the I am living as me. Get that? That it's all around, and it's also expressing uniquely as the I am that each of us is. It permeates life even though appearing as separate. It is interconnected, immersed, unified in oneness. It's hard to even grasp what this really means because we don't have the experience yet. But the point is, as we open up to the largeness of it, we also open up to the deepness of it that lives within us, which then opens our capacity to actually access it without even trying, because it's the design. And yet it's located in the cells, the very DNA itself of every human being. The cosmos interacts on many levels in the moments of living, using the soul elements as the interface and receptors to specific solar, lunar, and galactic transmissions. God, this stuff is like, it's deep, because we have no referent again. The soul is connecting us with all of these dimensional pieces. The soul is the piece of us. It's the God essence expressing as us. And because of that, expressing as us, we have access to the all that is. Do you not know that ye are gods? One of those great biblical passages of Yeshua. New radiations from the sun and the galactic center are designed to enhance DNA in humans. This is occurring and assisting in the swiftly shifting forms of how life is showing up for us. We are designed to receive. We are designed to interact with, to translate and transport the information into the cells, and the cells know what to do with it. It is a magnificent design. The current recalibration of humanity is opening us to the deeper relationship with soul and its elements. Each bit of awareness feeds the next, triggering the inner template to align the influx with the specific application necessary for our personal vibration. And currently we are being downloaded with the necessary codings to unlock to the 44%. That is like a given of the times. We're moving quickly in that direction. And as a result of it, life is changing. It will result in the Akashic acuity, as he called it, or awareness and remembering of the panorama of lives and information, gaining access to experiences forgotten previously. So do you understand what that's saying? Is what she's calling the Akashic acuity means we can see clearly into our own personal Akashic record. In other words, we're able to access that which we've been and that which we can become. And we can pull that information to apply to the moment. We can pull elements of ourselves, of skills that we have desired to learn, and pull them into the moments. I have experienced these pieces myself. There are times when I will not play the piano for long periods of time because I'm not writing anything along those, or I've been too busy. The next thing I know is I sit down, I feel pulled to the piano, I go sit down, and all of a sudden I can play things that I couldn't play before. It's like I have greater dexterity and a capacity to be even more fluent on the piano than before. It's as if I'm accessing a part of myself that I haven't in this particular dimension worked with. And I just go, what the heck is going on? Wow, this is really cool. I think that's a taste of what it is that's beginning to show up. And this will allow us to sustain successive lifetime awareness through pineal clearings and openings and activations, giving us back our innate capabilities. Much will speed up and the revelations will become commonplace, easily assimilated and assimilated into personal and collective awareness and activity. Again, I'm planting seeds tonight, and it might, you might even not even be awake anymore, but it's getting in there, I know. The weaving of the human, the soul, and the Gaia groups is where the expansive power lies in the awakening of the soul. Immediate access to all elements and dimensional access are some of the results. The soul is the interconnecting tool that revealed to us the grand design, the soul. And so I say here, as excited as I am about this new information, it is relevant to focus on additional perspectives on the soul as well. And one is the from the shamanic perspective, and in the book Awaken the Inner Shaman by Jose Stevens, there's a reference to the dimensional portal that connects the external soul to the internal. And this is the sinoatrial node in the heart, located at about 11 o'clock on the right side facing outward. This particular node contains three filaments that are basically invisible, but they carry an enormous load of information and power. They're charged to transport three key components from spirit directly into your heart for distribution through the DNA. The first is truth, or the intelligence of the cosmos. The second is love, magnetism, which is the force that attracts and holds your form together so that your body has integrity. And the third is power, the pure energy that animates you and allows you to carry out your decisions, actions, and movements. This spot where Jonathan Parker had us focusing on the heart in general, Jose Stevens invites us to focus on that particular node at 11 o'clock, on the physical heart itself. And as you tune into that particular space, you begin to actually bring your awareness, your conscious self, to touch the point, and you actually are at that point of that portal of integration between worlds and dimensions, where the internal becomes the external and the external becomes the internal. And this is a place in which we must be. This is part of our design that we gain access to facilitate the movement of the energies that are essential to our being in any dimension. So within the heart is the inner shaman, tasked with keeping the flow of intelligence, love, and energy coming in. This heart self is called the inner shaman. And this is the reference through shamanic tradition to really what is being talked about as the soul through Kryon. Again, I'm planting seeds. There will be activities to do with this in the printout. All right. I'm looking at the clock here. Whew, boy. So take a breath where you are and just be present for a moment and bring your awareness down to that place of the heart muscle itself. This loyal companion, this friend who shows up over and over and over. How many millions or perhaps billions of beats have taken place through the incarnations that you have had? And in this one, paying attention to that point allows you to be immersed in the vibration that is flowing back and forth. You can take this awareness, you can take the energy that is there, the vibration, and we've done this before, and you send it straight up. You send it straight up through the throat chakra. You send it straight up into the pituitary, into the pineal. And you begin to create these interconnections. You begin to allow the circuitry to realign itself to give us back our truth and to give us back the deeper and deeper experience of this dimension. You call upon these elements. So with the awareness of yourself at the heart, go ahead and take where the traditional viewpoint of the third eye, right between the eyebrows, just a little above. If you go to the bridge of your nose, which is the little notch there that where the nose meets the forehead, and climb up over it just a little bit, heading north. You'll drop over a ridge, and there'll be an indentation right in the center, directly above the nose. What you've got is you've found the actual, we're going to call it the acupressure or acupuncture point for the third eye. It is along a specific meridian, but this is the point. So just take your finger, an index finger, and give it some significant pressure, and just be circular with it like you're giving a massage to it. What you're doing is bringing awareness here. By bringing awareness to it, you're sending energy through the finger into it itself. That begins the decalcification of the interference that's in the way of it. So we want to go ahead and just allow a brisk little rubbing. And then pull your finger away, and you can almost feel that the vibration and the vitality is there. Do this on a regular basis and begin to open up this frequency here in the portal that is necessary for everything to start working the way it's supposed to again. Whew. Now, in the spirit of the EFT, where we're tapping, go ahead and take one or two fingers and tapping at the same point. You're going to go for about 20 to 30 seconds. A statement that goes along with that is, I am grateful. I am feeling better and better more and more of the time. This was suggested. It seems a little bit off the wall, but let's go with it. I am grateful. I am feeling better and better more and more of the time. I am grateful. I am feeling better and better more and more of the time. I am grateful. I am feeling better and better more and more of the time. One more. I am grateful. I am feeling better and better more and more of the time. So it is there. So the awareness, the attention begins to activate underneath. I want to give you some information. We're going to leave that for just a moment. And I want to give you some information on the calcification of the pineal gland. Here are the things that contribute to the basic calcification. And it's curious that a lot of the things that we're talking about here are things that I've been told are very healthy for us. The halides, they're called, and these are chemical substances like fluorine, chlorine, and bromide. And all of these have the same effect upon the pineal gland, which is to calcify it. Fluorine is most common in our diets. It is magnetically attracted by the pineal gland than any other body part. The form of calcium phosphate crystals that accumulate. They form the calcium phosphate crystals. The fluorine in toothpaste is in tap water. It's a powerful poison and must be avoided at all costs because it makes calcify. Boy, whoever wrote this one didn't proofread this book, this little e-book. Calcify the pineal gland tissue. So the invitation is to use different substances that are non-fluoridated if possible. He even suggests that the excessive intake of calcium through supplements is counterproductive to the actual. You can get calcium through food, fewer processed foods. So it's basically the things that you're aware of. It's also the mercury that exists in a lot of the foods and fillings, et cetera, et cetera. And the mercurization of fish is the idea of eating bottom feeding fish is becoming less and less a good idea because of the excessive amount of mercury that exists within them. Freshwater salmon, that's a different thing. It's not a bottom feeder, but things like halibut, shrimp, lobster, all of these delicacies are beginning to be so toxified that they are counterproductive to our clarity. Obviously, pesticides. I'll be listing some more of these things in here. And it goes on. It goes on and on and on. But in the process of actually eliminating calcification, I'm going to include some ways that can be done according to this. The use of raw lemon or citric acid is a good toxifying detoxifier for the pineal gland. The idea of some lemon in the morning in warm water is a good way to get the system up and running, but it has the bonus now of actually decalcifying. High doses of raw chocolate. Woohoo! A great detoxifier of the pineal gland thanks to the rich content of antioxidants. It says workups do about 7,000 to 10,000 milligrams a day. Oh, you know, I'm sorry, I'm talking about methyl sulfonyl methane. It's a new food supplement or a sulfur compound. That was a 7,000 to 10,000 milligrams a day. Although, you know, that kind of dosage of raw chocolate might be a fun thing to do. Moving on, garlic. Amazingly effective because it dissolves calcium and acts as an antibiotic. Boosts the immune system. Eat a half to two beads of garlic a day, more if you wish, to ensure that your breath does not... It's funny. I got to see who wrote this book. Obviously someone from another culture. Crushed garlic in raw apple cider vinegar or fresh lemon juice, and that'll deodorize it. I did not know that. Raw apple cider vinegar also decalcifies. Vitamin K1 or K2, oregano oil, melatonin, some iodine, tamarind, distilled water. Okay, so those are elements that will assist you in that process of decalcification. Again, the whole point is the pineal gland is essential, not only for what it's doing in the body, but for esoteric purposes as well, for opening up our vision and our sight. Once you begin to decalcify, it's like the lighthouse whose windows have been washed. Suddenly the light is more expressive and more visible outside of it, and therefore you are able to see in more expansive ways. The seeing in more expansive ways basically serves to open us up to step outside of the paradigms that we have bought into. The idea that we live in a limited dimension, that the status quo is basically all that we're here for. By now, you know through this course there is oh so much more. And honestly, everything we can do to celebrate that and take advantage of that and to reach into it, to lift it up to our awareness and our experience, the better off we are and the better off the collective vibration becomes by the work that we actually did. So our joy and our experience of entering these new dimensions is also collectively raising vibration. So please don't underestimate the power of what it is that you and I are doing here. It's critical underneath all of this that you basically make allowance, trusting, and surrendering critical elements of how you are in the world. These are huge leaps of faith that speak largely and speak loudly to the cosmos. They are magnetic attractors to a higher experience and a more fluid experience of how life comes to it and how we can move in cooperation with it. In these remarkable times, it's advisable to set aside the old paradigm of mistrusting the world. That's a habit that keeps energetic debris in place and keeps recycling limiting patterns. Mistrust directly interferes with the cosmic flow through the portals and chakras. It diminishes our access to the higher self consciously and slows down the reawakening of our soul connection. Mistrust magnetizes more issues, people, and evidence that will expand the fear of trusting. And you learn to trust by trusting. And small steps pave the way to greater risk. Once a fine line is passed, then trust takes over. With your higher self watching over and guiding incessantly, there really is nothing to mistrust. I really invite you to start looking at that as a possibility for you and as a probability. The only mistrust that really could be out there is a result of energy that has been held on to, experiences that have not been processed. And when we talk about releasing the old, the residue, the energetic residue, it's about clearing the way so that we can trust life. That is a place that I believe we have to reach, because that opens the doors. That reveals to us the magnificence, the expanse of the soul itself, as well as all these other elements. A simple phrase like, I completely trust life, can become a repeated mantra that will clear out the old paradigm and create a trusting vibration. Let's do it. I completely trust life. I completely trust life. I completely trust life. And then a statement like, how does it get better than this? Also is the invitation to the expansive, to the reawakening of the oh so much more. How does it get better than this? Come on, cosmos, show me. How does it get better than this? When one trusts, then one can allow the flow of life, choosing to let life unfold instead of pushing or controlling or forcing. The act of allowing opens up a more expansive experience to the moment. When energies are freed, the revelations come quickly. And with the new information coming in, one would be encouraged to trust it and allow it to reveal the specifics for you through the moments of living. That information will confront old thoughts and beliefs and paradigms, and with persistence dissolve the resistance increasingly. Paying attention to the moment and its forms will deliver the evidence that your efforts are working. See, when you start trusting, when you start saying, you know, why not? Let me allow this to be. Let me not resist it. Let me surrender to it. Let me flow with it. Let me walk hand in hand with this. Whatever the form, remember the form is the least reliable element of what's really going on. Nothing is as it seems, that statement says. It's always something greater, always something bigger. Again, when we resist, it's the triggerings of old elements of ourselves that are wanting to clear. If we begin to trust this process, then we begin to realize just how fluidly the body can clear itself. And thus, by clearing, every moment of that clearing is, again, opening up our vibration to the greater experience. To surrender is to stop resisting. Resistance invites more of the same. It activates energies of mistrust and does not allow the free oscillation of energy in and around your bodies. Letting go of holding on is wise. Letting oneself visualize falling and being caught by life, the soul, angelic beings, the higher self, etc., does wonders to put the new paradigm of trust in place. The allowance of the soul and the trust applied to give the higher self and the cosmos permission to take care, good care of you by clearing and steering you in the direction of reclaiming wholeness is recommended. Allow. The reawakening of soul is a process that feeds off its successes. The design within you is not leaving. Let me say that again. The design within you is not leaving. Every step you take toward opening up to the greater invites an exponential flow of higher frequency vibration to kick up the process. You show faith and say yes to the forms brought to you by your higher self because it's an orchestration that is run by you. Look what comes in the subtlety of the next moment. Pay attention to the invitations and take action to follow the unexpected. The improvisational dance is what the true earth and cosmic life is about. You'll have all these things in front of you when I get this to you. There's an element we don't have time to talk about. It's a classic element in relation to souls, and it has to do with the shamanic tradition of soul retrieval. Soul retrieval recognizes the notion that we have these bits and pieces through our moments of living that have been stripped from, knocked off, kicked off, left behind, disowned, discarded, whatever, based upon the unexpressed. When we have a moment of living that is intense for us, oftentimes it shatters these elements of ourself. And if we have to hold on to the expression of the energy, we hold on to it, and it begins to retract our vibration and keep us from fully experiencing the next moment. And the soul retrieval idea is that these parts that are left behind diminish our full expression of who we are. By exercising a process of soul retrieval through a shaman, one can go back and gather these elements and put them back together. And I think that's where the idea of Humpty Dumpty came from, quite honestly. Life shatters. In the form of the old paradigm, life shatters us. It leaves us a shell of what we are for the time being. Soul retrieval is a powerful process that can allow you to reclaim consciously those elements. Now, I'm not so sure. Is that the way to say it? I believe that some of the elements of soul retrieval are going to shift in relation to the new energies coming in, in that pieces of ourselves are being called back by the very nature of our raising vibration. So I guess tonight's call is really about inviting you to trust something that for now is unseen, to realize that all the stuff we've been doing, all the work we've been doing, all the talk, all the receiving, all the activities that we've been doing, the re-listening to any of these programs or doing the activities have all been leading to this collective awareness that we are oh so much more, and that the soul itself is the canopy. That's not the word, but it's what unites us all collectively and individually, and that staying true to the celebration of self through self-care, through conscious choice, through doing something different, through recognizing patterns, through calling our awareness to what is going on in the moment and choosing something different. These are all elements that activate the greater soul awareness to sweep over, through, around us. How else to say it? I don't know. There'll be information on soul retrieval online. I invite you to look at it. There's more information that we weren't able to cover, and there are some suggested activities that will help you, along with some empowerments that are coming through, some specifically on soul retrieval. I am so grateful that you chose to be a part of tonight. I feel that tonight, no matter what it seemed like, no matter what it felt like, no matter how bizarre it might have been, I really feel like it's a very critical turning point. Maybe it's a springboard. Maybe that's a better way to put it, because we're not turning and going anywhere. We have just been kicked into another level. This information, I really feel, and the upcoming next 4-5 sessions that we're going to have, I believe, are pretty significant in terms of what they are bringing to us. And I hope I can be, you know, a good enough or a competent servant to bring you awareness and to bring you at least the keys that will go ahead and trigger your own awareness to begin to embrace all of this. We're looking at block 2 here. Next time, the 12 ray integration. So we're looking at these 12 cosmic rays that come through ascended masters. This is a little more of an established perspective, but it really still has relevance, even in light of what we just talked about tonight. And then the exploration of DNA and its new forms and its new openings. And then we're going to get back. I'm going to give a shot at oneness again. But like I said, I think this is all beginning to make sense to me. And as we step into block 3 and block 4, for those who are choosing to be a part of that, look and see what it is. It's about taking the information and then putting it into more specifics about how to apply to stay cognizant of our moments and to stay in the flow. Chakra unification, creating and maintaining conscious relationships with all of life. Tending energy, embracing new paradigms of belief by shifting, working with prayer as conscious connection, really specifically using mantra, chant, and intentional songs to serve our intention for the course, living as love from an activated heart and chakra, and then in really embracing and using guidance, claiming the divine design, which all this is leading up to in some level, being in healthy balance, connecting with ascended masters in deeper ways, sacred sounds, the now moment, familiar topics in some way, but they all have the slant of the information that's coming in. I am certainly blessed by your choice to be here. I do believe tonight served you on many levels. Give me feedback if you'd like, and I am going to remain on the call for just a few more moments. If there are questions, anything that wants to be shared, we'll be back next Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Pacific for 12-ray integration. Oh, by the way, Over the next few days, I will complete Breath, Voice, and Word, which is a session that was not put into form. You got the recording, but not the form online. It is incomplete still, and I will get that up before the end of the week, along with tonight's call. Thank you so much, and I invite you to create relationship with your soul and open up to it. It is here, and it is on its way, just completely filling us up. And so it is, and so it is.
Mark?
Yes.
This is Connie. How are you tonight?
I'm good, Connie. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I really did enjoy the soul meditation. Thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
I did send you an email about the appointment that I had made with you for tomorrow for a mentoring session.
Right.
So if you could respond to that, I won't keep you on the phone over it. But
I sure will. As soon as I hang up, I'll look for it.
Okay, that'll be cool. Thank you so much, and I appreciate this evening.
Thank you, honey.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. We are done now. Closing call.